says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. I will do what it says I'll do. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen again. Woohoo. Okay, let me just say something, just so that you guys know, that when I'm over here looking at my phone and I'm doing this over here, I have to let you know that because Mr. Wes Griffith and Brother Vernon Asper has recommended to me that we put in a thermostat that I can control from the phone, and no matter where we are, if you see me up here playing with my phone, I'm not texting, but I'm adjusting the thermostat because I've seen some folks were doing like this. So praise the Lord. Amen for technology. Amen. Hallelujah. Good to see you, Brother Vernon, visiting all the way down from way up north. Is it cold up there? About like here. Brother Richard, all the way from Wisconsin. Okay, we got some folks that's just moved in here from Minnesota. Uh-oh. All right. It's going to be a great day. They're used to that cold weather. You know, we're freezing down here right now. So. Anyway, I just need to let you know something. You know, this weekend we did have a great meeting, and it was an awesome opportunity to come together and pray for each other and seek God's will and His face for direction for the church and for wisdom on how to do things. How many of you know it's a good thing to separate and get it before the Lord God Almighty to find out, Lord, what do you want me to do? Have you ever done that? Huh? Have you ever taken some time out and went up on the mountain and got before the Lord and said, Lord, speak to me, for I need to hear a new thing. I need to hear a new thing. Well, this morning's message is clearing our heads. Sometimes in the process of life, we can get a lot of stuff caught up in our brains and our minds and our thoughts. And I'm here to tell you that this morning is a good day to clear your mind. Clear your mind. And it's a great thing to always start off with prayer. Amen? So we're going to start this morning off with a prayer. Father, we thank you that your word says that your house, Lord, will be called a house of prayer. And Father, we repent, O God, for where we have fallen short. Lord, we cry out to you right now, Lord, to change our hearts, O God. Let us run. Lord, let us run with endurance the race that you have set before each and every one of us, O God, that we might hear your voice, that we might see, Lord, your perfect will in our life, Lord, that we will learn, O God, each and every day, Lord, to rest in you in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. 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 One of the things that was talked about this weekend was, and it really struck a chord with me because I learned this quite a few years ago, that people are looking for, what is your ministry? What am I, is my purpose? I don't understand. What am I supposed to be doing in the kingdom of God? And everybody's searching and seeking. Well, this is a real simple answer, and I've said this a few times, but the word says that, you know, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? And we hear that and we say, oh, yes, amen. But to bring that down right home into your own life, what is that truly telling us to do? Everywhere we are and every time, every tick of the talk, all the time, no matter where you are and what you're doing, it should be for the glory of the Lord. We should realize that no matter where we are, if we're in Walmart, we're on a job, we're driving down the road, we're in the house with our spouse, or we're teaching our kids something or whatever, wherever we are, we're always to be aware that that's our assignment. No matter where we are and what we're doing, that is our assignment from the kingdom of God, is we are to be a witness and a testimony into the next generation. We only have one life to live, and I'm not talking about a soap opera. I'm talking about living it for Jesus. I'm talking about running with endurance. Endurance, push it. That's hard. You got to push through some hard things. You got to go through some hard things. Run with endurance the race that was set before us. There's a few words that I challenged our leaders with this weekend, and one was sanctify. Sanctify yourself. And what does that mean? The word is actually meaning set apart, to get away from all of the stuff, the things that we allow in our lives. We need to learn to sanctify. And watch this. It also means to declare holy. Whenever we're going through our situations, sometimes the devil has lied to us and say, you're not worthy. Oh, that's a lie. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died so that you might have life. So if God sent his only begotten Son to die so that you could have life, that means we need to learn how to dedicate our life to Jesus. We need to learn to say we are set apart. We are called out. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the Bible tells it. What? Well, I'm not just talking about just breathing into air. I'm just talking about living life each and every day. Each and every day, we need to run. Excuse me. Declare holy things that are in your life as things that's not right. We need to dump them off and get rid of them. Consecrate is another word. Sanctify was one. Consecrate is the next one. And it also means to declare sacred. Do you realize that your life has been declared sacred before the Lord? Jesus died. He was the sacrifice. To dedicate for a divine purpose, consecrate means. To dedicate. You know, sometimes in our life, we decided to follow Jesus. We decided to find out what this Christianity is all about. We decided. We chose. We said, Lord, we know that you've called me. There's a calling on your life. There's an emptiness until you start realizing that there's a filler, and his name is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But there's an emptiness in our lives until we start applying the Word of God, which is the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus, the truth. When we start applying that all in our life, then we start realizing how good it is. We had Brother Alan Jenkins come over and gave us a word of encouragement. One of the things he said was that this blew me away. It really did, because sometimes you hear these people and they'll say, oh, the good old days. Well, how about the good new days? You see, you can look back and keep looking back, but the Lord says, I'm bringing you to a new thing. I old things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. And that's what he's bringing us to, a place of understanding that, yes, the glory of the former house may have been good, but that's nothing going to be compared to the glory of the latter house. Thank you. You see, the Lord wants to bring us up, out of stuff, out of things, out of mindsets. That's why I'm saying clear your minds, clear your brains, clear your heads, and realize that God is in control. For any, we got to clear ourselves from any preconceived thoughts. That's where a lot of us end up in trouble too, because we have all of these thoughts, what we think church should be, what we think Christianity should be, what we think God wants us to do. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we get it wrong. Anybody here ever got it wrong? We got a few honest folks. Sometimes we get things wrong, and it's sort of like what happens as we gather together and we start realizing that God has called us to love. Say love. Oh, did you hear me a couple of weeks ago when I talked about the word love? I said, listen, this is so important this year that we realize that God loves us, and he also loves the people that we struggle with. Oh, what about that person? Well, you know, God loves them too. They might need saved. They might need you to tell them all about Jesus. They might need you to put off your flesh and put on the spirit of man and the spirit of God and go out and minister to them. That means we have to decrease and let God increase. Amen? You see, because sometimes we don't want to decrease. Sometimes we want to do it our way or the good old way. And the Lord's trying to bring us up out of that same old, and say, I got something new for you. I've got something exciting for you. The word says in the Old Testament that those who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. That means he's got some great things in store for us. He's got some wonderful things in store. The word also says that no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind conceived. That's what God has prepared for those who love him. Oh, I love Jesus. I just don't love this guy. Oh, I love Jesus, but I'm struggling with this woman. Oh, Lord, we got to learn what the word love truly means and move on and allow the Holy Spirit to transform our thoughts, our mind thoughts, the things that we're thinking. We've got to learn to allow the Holy Spirit room. We've got to make room for Jesus in our life. Instead of just closing the door and saying, that's the way we've always done it. Well, I just want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of you. Hear the word of the Lord. Listen to this. Acts chapter 13. Men and brethren, son of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of salvation has been sent. To you. He's speaking to the body of Christ. He's speaking to each and every one. Do you realize something? That, you know, a lot of people struggle with understanding the Bible, and it's because they don't meditate on it, and they don't study the Word, and they don't understand that. Guess what? If you're not a... Did you realize that the entire Bible was written to the church? The entire Bible was written for instruction and to give us wisdom and to give us insight and to even bring correction into our lives. Oh, I know somebody else wants to use that Bible to correct you, all right? But I'm talking about us, say me. We need to use the Word to bring correction to our lives. Oh, there's many people that want to do it to somebody else, but they don't want to apply it to themselves. I'll just move on real quick and get away from that. To you, the Word of salvation has been sent. Say to me, the Word of salvation has been sent so that we can know our God is a merciful, gracious, good God that loves you, and He wants to encourage you to encourage the body. Amen. Luke chapter 3 and 4 says this, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. This is my heart right now, and this scripture has been popping out over and over, and every time I turn around, I'm hearing somebody else quote it. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare. Say prepare. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make His path straight. We heard that this weekend. Make His path straight, for every valley shall be brought low. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain will be brought low. Crooked places shall be made straight. How many of you got some crooked places in your life that needs to be made straight? Father, we send a word right now, Lord, to all of the folks, Lord, that's got some crooked things going on, some high things that need to be brought low and some low things that need to be brought up. Lord, we speak a word right now to the life. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill brought low. Crooked places shall be made straight and the rough way made smooth. All the flesh and all flesh see the salvation of God. You see, God wants us all to come to the understanding and the unity, say unity, of the Spirit of God. You see, there's a lot of folks that's strumming a what do they call it when it's not a good chord? It's a discord. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Let me turn this thing on right now because let me let you know right off the bat, I cannot play a piano. So if you think you're fixing to hear something wonderful, I'm sorry. But I'm a good example of a discord. I don't know how to play the chord on here. And sometimes in our life, we live it and we're sowing discord amongst the brethren and the sisters. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs that God hates that. He hates those who sow discord. So I'm just going to throw that out and just let you know, stay in tune with God. Stay on target. Stay focused. Keep your understanding. Like, guess what? You know what? God's called you. This blows my mind. This happened to me this morning. I was just thinking about it, and I was just meditating on the Word. And in the process of meditation, the Word came to me and said, listen to this, Tyrone. I said, yeah, Lord, go ahead. And He says, this is where so many of us struggle, is that whenever we are sorry and we make a mistake, we go to the Lord and we say, oh, God, I'm sorry. I repent. And we make things right. And the Lord's so awesome. He is so good to us. And He says, that's okay. I got you. I'm forgiving you. I've already sent my son. The blood's covered it. I love you. Now watch this. How many of us have people in our lives that have offended us and caused problems in our lives that we will not forgive because they did me, or they stabbed me, and they lied about, they talked about me. Now, I'm hearing a voice of one saying this. Yeah, but they didn't come and ask for forgiveness. Thank you. Don't matter. you go and make things right. If somebody's offended you, the word says to go and make it right. If somebody offends you, you go to that person and make it right. And the reason why I'm trying to get our attention this morning to say that is because we're starting a new year. Don't drag the old stuff with you. Don't keep dragging that old dead stuff behind you and it's weighing you down. Start afresh. Again, don't put new wine in an old wineskin. It won't work. It bursts. It'll burst, and sometimes we want to drag that old nature, the old stuff with us into the next generation, into the next. How many of you are ready to start a new thing in your life right now? Father, we thank you for the newness of your Holy Spirit. We ask you to start, Lord, a new thing in each and every one of us, that we will run a fresh race, Lord, that we won't look back to the things of old, but we will decide to follow you. Clear your heads. Delete the lies. Get ready to soar higher than you've ever been able to soar. Sanctify, set apart, dedicate to holiness, consecrate, to declare sacred and to declare for a divine purpose. Do you know that you were born into the kingdom of God for such a time as this? Oh, you're just repeating Esther. Yeah, but guess what? Each and every one of us are here for this day, for this age. There's folks that you know that if you don't tell them about Jesus, they might not ever get a chance to hear it. He's given you the anointing. He's given you the ability to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Quit trying to fix everybody else. Just give them the word. Sow the seed. I made a statement this weekend about glitter, and I have to go ahead and tell you a real quick story real quick. This Christmas time, we had our Christmas tree, and it had glitter all over it. And it was one of those, you know, three-part trees, right? You take it apart, and we decide, okay, it's a couple days after Christmas, we're going to box it up, put all the Christmas ornaments away. And I boxed this thing up, and there's glitter, and it's sprinkling all over me, and I'm boxing it all up, and I got this glitter on me. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. And Carol's laughing at me. She goes, you look all sparkly. And I was like, yeah, honey, that's fine. But the glitter stayed on almost all day. Matter of fact, all the way until like 7, 8 o'clock that evening, I went to go take a shower, and I walked in the bathroom, and, man, there's still like glitter here and glitter there, and all these little spots of glitter. I don't know about you, but all I can tell you is God speaks to me in the natural things. And this is what he told me. I'm looking in the mirror at the glitter, and he says, just like that, I have sprinkled my Holy Spirit. I have sprinkled my glitter Holy Spirit all over the body of Christ. And throughout our days, glitter falls off. Some glitter falls off. Some glitter falls off. Some glitter falls off. And just like that glitter falls off, sometimes that we don't walk in the Spirit, when we're not walking in the Spirit, but we're walking in the flesh, the Spirit of God is falling off of us and we become more and more fleshly. And then somebody tells us something we don't like and we come back with a harsh answer. And we come back with that fleshly thoughts and those demonic activities that we used to do and all of these things that happen and those no good rotten scoundrels. And all of these thoughts are going through our mind and that's the glitter falling off. But right in the midst of that, the Lord spoke to my heart and he says, but, can you just say but with me? But the Holy Spirit is right there. And all we have to do is say, Lord, I need some more glitter. I need some more Holy Spirit. I need some more of you right now, Lord. There was a couple of weeks ago, I don't even remember where we were going. I was frustrated. Some things wasn't going right or figured where it was going. Carol and I was driving out to go somewhere. I stopped at the driveway. And I told my wife, I said, baby, I need you to pray for me right now. She looks at me and she goes, okay. And she started praying for me. And I just said, I'm discouraged. I'm frustrated. I don't feel spiritual. I don't feel God's presence. I feel frustrated. I feel angry. And I said, before we leave this house, I would need this spirit gone. And she prayed for me and we interceded. Had a little crying party right there. I cry a lot. Ain't y'all ever cry a lot? Some of y'all that don't cry, you just lie. Anyway, the Lord just said, it's time for a re-glittering. It's time for a refilling of the Holy Spirit. It's time. Say, it's time. We've been hearing this word today over and over. Now, 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 now. Don't wait. Now is the time. And right while I'm speaking to you right now, maybe the Lord's thundering and sparking a little fire in your heart. And you don't have to jump up and down and holler and scream and come up here and proclaim it and all that. But I'm here to tell you, right now where you're sitting, you can just say, Lord, I need more. Lord, I need a re-glittering. Lord, I need more of you today. You see, because God is a personal God. He is a personal Savior. He loves you so much that if you talk to him right now in your heart, no matter where you are, He'll answer you. He'll pour out his Spirit. He'll bless you and strengthen you. Dedicated for a divine purpose. The second thing I want to talk to you about this morning is a spiritual mental stimulation. We need a mental spiritual stimulation. We need to find out what God wants us to do each and every day. Whenever, you heard me talking just a minute ago, wherever and whenever you are, wherever you are, God wants to use you in that situation to proclaim the gospel, to speak forth your Christianity. And when we do that, that's a spiritual mental stimulation. You walk away from that knowing that you was obedient. Say obedient. You was obedient to the Spirit of God. And when you're obedient to the Spirit of God, you know what happens in your spirit? This is one of my favorite words. It means amen. It's woohoo! I get a little excited. I get a little excited when you walk away from doing exactly what you know God just told you to do. You walk away from that going, whoo, that felt good. Thank you, Jesus. You're amazed that he wants to use you. You're amazed that he's used all of that pile of stuff that we are. I'm amazed that he could use somebody like me. But he can. You see, because when you read the scripture, do you realize the people that God used? Oh my goodness, we're in good company, amen? Hallelujah. God uses people that don't think they can, because in reality, it's not you. It's the Spirit of God. Finding, this is what we need to do with also with this spiritual mental stimulation, is we've got to get to an understanding that we've got to dump off the mindset, the lie, the devil, the enemy that's trying to take away. How many of you know the story of Jonah and the whale, right? There was a place where the guys, they were all on the ship and the water was rough and ooh, and everything's happening. And Jonah said, tell you what, guys, y'all need to throw me overboard. And I'm here to tell you that there's some things in your life that God may have brought in, but I'm here to tell you that it's time to throw Jonah overboard. It's time to throw the rebellious mentality of the Jonah spirit that says, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. It's time for us to throw that spirit overboard. I don't think I've ever heard anybody preach, throw Jonah over. But I'm here to tell you that he's telling us today to get rid of the rebellious, lying, destructive spirit and throw it overboard. Get rid of it. And this is what the word says. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Oh, but I've been going to church and oh, I've been tithing and oh, I've given my money to this person and oh, I've prayed for that person and oh, I did this and I did that. That's all fine and dandy. But what are we doing now? What are we doing now? We got to throw over the board Jonah. We need to learn how to walk in unity of spirit. Ephesians 4 and 1 says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. The Lord tells us, he's getting our attention. He's trying to shake us up and wake us up and say, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which I have called you, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. I'm going to slow down and read that one more time. In all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering and bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring means push through, gets hard thing. You got to, sometimes it's hard to deal with some folks. Have you ever had a hard person to deal with? You ever had some people that God brought in your life and you're thinking, why did you bring him to me, Lord? I don't want to minister to that one. Have you ever been there? I just need to know, anybody? I don't want to tell this person about Jesus. Oh my. See where our spirit is, right? Do you see why God brought that person into your life? Why did he bring that person into your life? Because we need to deal with some situations that we have problems with. Oh, not me, brother. I don't have him. No, I got a kick out of some folks that used to say, I love God, I just don't like the people he loves. Oh, my. With all lowliness, with all gentleness, with long suffering, man, do you know sometimes when your kids are doing things wrong, you want to just kill them? Or your spouse, or have you ever had some, just irritate you so much that you just, it just gets on your nerves? Don't shake your head so hard. She's looking. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody, okay, if it's I see some folks that are absolutely in love with their kids and their spouse and they never had a problem, but what about that other person that you're just having a problem with? Do you realize that you got to love them? Bob, don't point at Mary. All the time. Oh, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Keeping the Spirit, keeping the Spirit, keeping it. Knowing that no matter what you're going through, we got to learn to keep it. We got to keep it. We got to walk in it. We got to walk in the Spirit of God day by day. Sometimes you might be walking through some slushy, nasty mud, and it feels hard, and that's how it is in some relationships, and I feel sorry for you. But I'm here to tell you that God will bring you up out of the miry clay. Yes, he will, and he'll put your feet right upon the rock, Christ Jesus, and he'll bring you to a place of understanding, because we all, say we all, we all have issues. We all have problems. Jesus forgave us. How much more should we learn to forgive one another? How much more? The word says like this, you know, all of these miracles and signs and wonders Jesus was telling his disciples? Oh, you see me doing this? Greater are these that you will do, and more, much more. Oh, you see, because to me, I often sat back and I read that and I was like, Lord, how could we do more than what you've done? And then have you ever just meditate on things? And this is what I feel like the Lord spoke to me about. You see, it was easy for him because he was the Son of God and he knew who he was. Do you hear what I just said? He knew who he was. Oh, see, we struggle because we don't know who we are. Oh, are we children of the Most High God? Oh, can we do the things he did? Yes, we can. We've got to seek his will, though. You see, sometimes we want to do something and think, well, you know, I'm going to say, the Lord walked on water, I'm going to walk on water too. And you go step in the swimming pool and you go, bloop. I have to know, did anybody ever try that? My hand's up, by the way, I did. But you see, God never told me to go demonstrate something and walk on the water. Huh? I just was wanting to play. And sometimes in our life, we want to play with God. Sometimes we just want to do something. And you know what? It wasn't God's will that I walk on the water. Obviously. Because I went bloop. Well, I want to talk to you about a few more things. Danger of no purpose. The danger of not having your purpose and understanding what God's called you to do. There's a danger zone where you just live in life and you don't necessarily understand what's going on. And I'm just kind of breathing and I'm just kind of living and I'm just kind of working and I'm just kind of getting by. I'm just paying my bills and I'm just driving my cars and I'm just having this relationship and I'm just divine purpose we have. Actually, each and every one of us have a divine purpose. If you've got a wife and a kids and a family and You have a divine purpose just in your own home, much less in the world that we live in. But watch this. This is what Proverbs 29 says. Where there is no revelation, where there is no vision, where there's no continuous understanding of God's will, the people, it says, the people cast off restraints. The things that holds you in line and in place and the things that will bring you to a understanding of God's word, and you're walking in his path and you're walking in that spirit and you're saying, Lord, show me how to walk. And he says, okay, I want to show you, but you got to follow me. Say, follow him. We got to follow the Lord. Happy is he who keeps the law. He's bringing us to a place of understanding that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we realize that obedience is better than sacrifice, and when we realize that walking in the Spirit is better than walking in the flesh, then we want to walk more and more and more obedient to the Scripture, to the Word of God. And I hope to tell you, and I know I say this around here quite a bit because I like to, because this is what sometimes when I talk about getting spiritual, a lot of people get this mindset of, hallelujah, Jesus, standing on a mountain and I'm a monk on the mountain, and that's what I got to be, spiritual and minded, and I'm singing chanting songs to everybody, hallelujah. No. Whew. Boy, aren't you glad he didn't call you to do that? He called me to live. He called me to live. And yesterday we were talking about the different ministries in the body. We were talking specifically about the ministries in this church and the leadership. And we were saying how God has raised up and imparted a fresh anointing and a fresh ability to do each. I mean, you know, not everybody can work in the children's church. And all of y'all that don't want to work in the children's church said amen. Amen. Oh, that was weak. Okay. If you don't say amen real loud, we're going to sign you up at children's church. Say amen. Amen. Okay, I thought that. What about nursery? Not everybody's been called to work nursery. Amen? Amen. Oh, y'all got a little bit more involved that time, huh? And nobody wants to work nursery. Oh, here we go. Nobody wants to run sound. Amen. Oh, but we have a lot of folks that want the public, you know, easy stuff. To just, oh, let me teach the adult class. Let me show you how wise I am. I can teach the adults because they sit down, shut up, and I can just tell them all what I think. Oh, we just love to teach the adult class. Hallelujah. Whew. Well, I'll just start. If you truly want to teach an adult class, watch what it's going to take. It's going to be obedience into doing what he's called you to do when he's called you to do it. He's going to say, he who is faithful in the little things. And I'm saying that on purpose because I work the nursery. I work Joshua Generation Children's Church. I work teenage youth pastoring. Then I taught classes. Then I became associate pastor. Woo-hoo! That was the best. No responsibilities. You just go have fun. And then you become pastor. It's a process. It's a journey. It's a step by step. He was faithful with the little things. I'll put in charge of the big. God wants to find out that he can trust you. He's going to invest in you. He's going to impart fresh vision. He's going to make sure that you understand what it takes to live life. Because every day of every hour of every minute of our life is consumed with purpose. There are people watching you. Aren't you? Do you realize? Have you ever realized that people are watching? And I know you know this because when you mess up, they're surely to tell you. That's the ones that'll tell you. Oh, man. Then you'll find out who's watching you. Oh, boy. All right. And then comes the next thing is a vested interest. Danger from no purpose. The next thing is vested interest. We've got to have a vested interest in what God's called us to do and be, a vested interest in our relationships, a vested interest in God, in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's calling us all to be invested into the kingdom of God. the part of the body. We all have different parts to play. And there's not one that's not important. See, sometimes we, in our human nature, puts a priority up here of what this person doing and what we're doing. Oh, well, I just do this. Oh, no. Oh, that is so far from the truth. If you pick up a piece of paper in the kingdom of God, God's watching you. If you shampoo a carpet in Jesus' name, God's watching you. If you cut the grass in Jesus' name, God, if you paint a wall in Jesus' name, oh my goodness. You see what I'm hearing? Do you hear what I'm saying? You see, sometimes we try to be so spiritual that we can only be, our ministry could only be this. But they're watching. Every person you know is watching you, and they're listening to the words that are coming out of your mouth. Do you realize the importance of not losing it? When you're driving down the street and a car pulls out in front of you, do you realize your children are in the car? Oh my, oh me. Do you realize that your spouse is sitting there making fun of you saying, yeah, they knew it was you? I'm just teasing. Oh, Carol made me laugh so much about that kind of stuff. I tell you what, it's so cool to have a balanced life and somebody in your life to balance you. I'd be fussing and this person pull out in front of me and I'd say, oh, them idiots there, who taught them how to drive? And then my wife would look at me and she goes, yeah, they knew it was you. And I was like, what do you say to that? Yeah, all right. Of course they didn't know it was me, but if they had known it was me, they would not have pulled out in front of me. No. No. We get caught up in the doing things for doing things' sake. Don't get caught up into just doing something. Be obedient to the Word of God. Some of us are scared to trust God. Many Christians are wanting to follow man, things, stuff. But He's never called us for all that. He's called us to follow Him. To follow Him. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34 says it like this. When He had called all the people to Himself with His disciples also, He said to them, whoever desires to come after Me, whoever desires to come after Me, let him deny himself. That's the flesh. That's the thoughts that we have, that we think. To deny what we're thinking and to follow Him, to follow the Word of God, to follow truth, to follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Oh, and if you're struggling, that's okay, because we all struggle. But that's why He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us a helper. For whoever desires to save his life, watch this. Oh, if I just get caught, if I'm just doing my own. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake and the gospel will save it. So I'm here to tell you that this year is going to be a great, great, great year. All right, I'm going to put a comma there, pause, if we'll follow Jesus, if we'll draw closer to Jesus. It's going to be an awesome year. And you know what's sad is there are a lot of people that they're not going to follow Jesus. They're not going to be obedient to the Spirit. They're going to be frustrated. They're going to be depressed. They're going to be murmuring. They're going to be whining and fussing. And oh, I know if they would. And boy, if that preacher and if they would just worship this way and if they would turn that air down and if they'd turn the heat up and if they'd. Boy, we can always. I'm just here to tell you. Been here for 37-ish, I don't know, a bunch of years. And it's amazing to watch how many different things people think we should do. Oh, you should do this. Oh, you should do that. Oh, you should try this. Y'all should do this, y'all. And immediately when I hear those statements, I say, wait a minute. I'm hearing the word y'all. You see, you have separated yourself from the body of Christ and you are pointing to us and telling us what to do. That ain't going to happen. You see, because what we believe and what we teach here is if the Holy Spirit brings a word in your life, instead of you saying, you should, you automatically start saying, I should. You see, because usually what happens is the Lord will put a burden on your heart and you don't want to do it, so you want to tell Bill to do it. Oh, you see, you hear me? So when you hear the words and when you see things that need to be done, don't come tell me. Unless you're coming to tell me how you're going to apply it. And the Lord told me that I need to come and shampoo the carpets. Hallelujah. The Lord told me to buy some thermostats for the church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Joe. What's your name? Wes. Thank you, Vernon. Got some new thermostats hooked up. Woohoo! Good idea. Saving money. We ain't gonna, remember a while back I complained about people coming and leaving the thermostats on and going home and the air conditioner ran all week. Boy, now I get home and I go, let's see if they left them on. I'll turn them off. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Save the money. Be a good steward of what God put us in charge of. I believe that the Lord God Almighty is here today, and He wants to encourage you to get ready to live life to the fullest. Get ready, because I'm telling you, for those who choose to follow Him, it's going to be a great year. Will you stand to your feet? Let me pray for you. Father, we thank You for Your Spirit. Lord, we thank You for Your Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank You for the body of Christ. Lord, we ask You to bless them and encourage them, Lord. Lord, let Your word, oh God, come alive in each and every day of their life, Lord. Let them not be stagnant. But Lord, let us hear Your voice clearly. Lord, no matter what we're going through in the natural, Lord, we are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're going to put off the flesh and put on the Spirit of God. We're going to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to increase in our day-to-day walk, and let us decrease. Let us put off the old man, the old flesh, and let us learn to walk in the Spirit of God. In the Spirit of God, let us walk daily. In Jesus' name, and everyone here said amen. Amen. Amen.